Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome to Nighttime Talk. This is Gareth O'Callaghan. As some of you may have expected, Niall will not be here in this chair tonight. Now, he will be in a chair sitting opposite me in a couple of minutes' time. Our WhatsApp number for your messages and for your voice notes tonight is 087-188-0008. Now, as you know, word broke yesterday that Niall Boylan is to run in the forthcoming European elections as a candidate on June 7th. And he will be my guest tonight on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. That's coming up in a couple of moments. But before I talk to Niall, here's a short message from the chief executive of Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. This is Kevin Brannigan.
Niall Boylan is an experienced broadcaster with a very strong personality. He's at the top of his game when it comes to discussion and debate and has been a ratings winner for Ireland's Classic Hits Radio for almost 14 years. His unwavering commitment to his listeners and his relentless pursuit of the truth on his radio show has made it a great success with listeners. I admire him for having the courage of his convictions and putting himself forward like this, and I wish him the very best in his bid. I have no doubt that he will make a positive impact, just as he has done with Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. As one of the largest commercial radio stations in the country, we have a responsibility to be fair to all candidates, and for that reason, it has been decided that Niall will stand down as presenter of Nighttime Talk with immediate effect. I'd like to wish Niall all the very best.
That's Kevin Brannigan, the CEO of Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Niall Boylan is sitting in the guest's seat tonight.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And technically, this could be the very last time you ever sit as a guest, or indeed, well, possibly not as a guest, depending on the outcome of your bid, but certainly as a radio presenter. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a mix of emotions at the moment. There's a huge amount of happiness in the fact that going forward, I'm doing something very new and very positive, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But there's a huge sadness because it's 14 years here in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, which is the longest I've ever held a job in my life. And not that I'm 30 years on radio talking to people. And I calculated, because as many people know, I used to do the two shows on Classic Hits Radio. I used to do the daytime show and the nighttime show. And, you know, that was a combination of 5 hours a day. And when you work it out at roughly maybe 10 or 15 callers an hour, which is what we used to deal with, it works out at 270 or 280,000 callers over 30 years.
God, so you need to get out of it more.
I'm like an agony aunt. And when I look back at that, you know, there have been so many wondrous times, so many happy callers, so many angry callers, very sad ones as well, who had maybe lost or had a bereavement. You know, people who were sick I've talked to, people who couldn't get appointments. You know, all the stuff that people talk about. And I felt I was a really good empathetic ear for a lot of those people. And we made friends. I feel like that, particularly the Nighttime Talk radio show, more so than when I used to do the daytime, because the Daytime Talk radio show had different people coming and going all the time. But the Nighttime show is like a big family. I mean, a huge family, actually, but the biggest family in Ireland, because we have a huge market share of radio listening in Ireland. But it's like a family. And I feel like I'm leaving them or abandoning them or something, because I feel they're part of my family. And I want to let them know that I'm not abandoning them. What I want to do is I want to make a difference in their lives. I feel I make a difference in their lives all the time on radio, because for a lot of them, I'm a friend at night that they talk to. They trust me. But I want to make a bit more of a difference in their lives. And if I can go for 5 years to Europe and change one thing and leave some sort of legacy that I help them in their lives, that'll make me happy. Because I think that's the next logical step in my life. But it's really, really sad to see you sitting here and me sitting in this seat, which I've never done before, by the way.
Yeah.
And I think the last time me and you had this type of conversation, Gareth,
was the 31st of August 2018, when I was leaving here.
Yes, because you had been diagnosed at the time and you were on the opposite side of the desk.
Yes.
So we had the same sad conversation that day, but just the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, it's just like a whirlwind. This has happened so quickly. But I've kind of toyed with this idea because callers say it to me all the time. Somebody already said to me the other night, "Now, why don't you become the president?" And I went, "The president, unfortunately, doesn't have a huge amount of power in this." And I don't think I'd like to live in the Yorris. It's just too big and echoey for me.
I thought you'd say, "I don't want to live in a smaller house."
In the Yorris. So they said, "Would you not run for presidency?" And I thought, these, but I get very complimented when people say things like that, that I feel that when they ask me, you know, "Would you not run as Taoiseach? Would you not do this? Would you not do that?" I feel like they really trust me to make decisions on their behalf. Now, let's be clear about it. I'm not politically correct. I'm well aware of that. And people who listen to me know I'm not politically correct. But that's why they listen. And I remember many years ago, when the former programme directors that were in the station, they were running focus groups, you know, to find out, you know, do you like Gareth O'Callaghan? What do you like about the music he plays? Do you like Niall Boylan? And one of the things that came back about me, and the most common thing was, you know, he's honest. And I that really touched me, because people genuinely, I mean, they appreciate when I'm honest. And sometimes honesty hurts. You know, I can be a little bit offensive by times. I get that, but that's honesty. That's what honesty is all about. You know, sometimes in the pursuit of truth, you have to hurt a few people's feelings. And, you know, I might have, you know, different opinions to some people. I think I'm very fixated on family values. I'm very fixated on good morals. Even somebody actually said to me once, I'm the most religious atheist they've ever met. You know, so I people know, of course, that I don't believe in God, but I believe in the same things that people who believe in God believe in, you know, because I feel that I've quite a lot of good morals.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite a quiet person, contrary to popular belief, by the way. I'm not this kind of animated voice.
You are quite shy when you're not involved.
I'm not social at all. I don't go, people listen, don't know. I don't go drinking. I don't go to pubs. I don't do all of those things because...
But I hear you do 10 minutes when the fridge door opens and the light comes on.
Yeah, I start dancing. That's when I start stripping and Cara, my wife, gets really upset.
Right, we'll come back to that in a moment. I was only given three questions. Now I can see why. Now, I have to stress here, we have to abide by certain rules tonight. So this is not a political broadcast on behalf of Niall Boylan. We will be tipping in and out of political issues. And also, I want to know, and I'm going to come back to it in a few moments' time, actually, I'll ask you now, and already there are hundreds of texts coming in, mostly people saying they're gutted that you're leaving. A few saying, FFS, don't tell me O'Callaghan's your replacement.
Oh, poor Gareth.
I can see these texts, guys. Anyway, you know, we'll put it on French. My French isn't too good. When did you want to go into politics? Because I remember 5 years ago, and we were both going through challenging times in our own lives. You mentioned to me that at some stage you might dip your toe into the water of politics.
See, I say that now and again because you're so in touch with politics, because you're doing a show where, you know, we do social dilemmas, we do politics, we do government decisions or how they're affecting the people of Ireland. And when you get callers on who really frustrate you, because I know that their lives are being really badly affected by decisions that are made, say, in the Dáil or Leinster House. And I see how their lives are badly affected. And as soon as I'm finished that show, I come out and I go, I need to do something about that. I can't have that. I can't have people feeling like that. So there's been moments like that over the last, particularly 5 years, that I felt like that, that I felt I need to do something. I need to do something more than this. Okay, they really appreciate that I'm listening to them. Or, for example, we might send a letter off for Jane or whoever my producer at the time would send a letter off to whatever department to try and get an answer. But we always got back the same answer. Sorry, we can't comment on individual cases. That's usually the answer we get back. So we feel that we're not, well, I felt I wasn't doing enough. You know, I mean, I know I'm their friend. I know they can tell me in confidence on the air at night. You know, and it's amazing when people call in, particularly with things that are very, very personal to them. And it's almost like they forget that there's thousands of people listening and it's just me and them talking and we're just chatting. And we do topics and we could be doing the most serious topic in the world. And then somebody might cough or something and I'd say, are you all right? Oh yeah, I've just had this really bad cough. I was down at the doctor the other day. And we get this whole story about them being at the doctor and they're feeling unwell or whatever. We just it's like being in the pub on a Saturday night, particularly on the nighttime show. It's like a big family and it's so brilliant. It really is.
Yeah. Actually, quite a few people on the train from Cork were wishing you well as well. The guy collecting the ticket says to me today, hold on a sec. He said, you only went home on Sunday. Yeah. What are you coming back up for? And he said, I know now you're coming up because there's news tonight, isn't there? I listen to him every night. Something's breaking tonight. Quite a lot of people saying that it's unfortunate that you didn't get a chance to break the news yourself, which I have to say I agree with.
I'm not allowed.
Yeah. And I think also it was rather spiteful that somebody decided to take the story and run with it.
Yeah. Well, look, that's what journalists do. And I get that. They want to break a story. And, you know, we had planned here in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio when I spoke to Kevin going back a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I told him that I had made this decision to do this. And I have to say, he has been so supportive. And I got to thank him personally on the air, Kevin Brannigan, my CEO, and Liam Thompson, the programme director of the radio station, Dave Kelly. They've been so supportive of me. in whatever way I wanted to do this, because obviously they have guidelines too that they have to adhere to. Mm. So we had planned that I would, you know, sign the register and the follow. I would do my last show, and what we decided was for my last show that we wouldn't do anything political. We would do what they call social dilemmas, so there would be no way anyone could suggest that there's any bias or anything like that or whatever it is, and that I would finish up tonight with you, and obviously then with the radio station would give a statement. So at no stage, contrary to what the papers are suggesting, had I planned to continue being on the radio.
Yeah.
I'm well aware of the guidelines of the Broadcasting Authority, or as the now known Commission I'm on, and I'm well aware of those guidelines. But I do have to say, in relation to those guidelines, as much as I do agree with them, you know, I mean, they do suggest, for example, that people can, if I was doing a gardening show, I could continue doing it.
How long would that be? I'd say 30 seconds, I'd say.
But here's the sad part.
What's that? It's a trowel? Trowel? It's a trowel. They're the people who text me.
It does deny your constitutional right to earn a living, really, doesn't it? But I mean, look, I'm willing. It's a big, big risk. A huge, big risk. You know, I'm giving up a 30-year career. And I'm doing it because I want to make people's lives better in both Dublin and Ireland. I want to make changes. When I see some of the things that are going on, and I can't obviously talk about those individual things, I feel that I need to do more. And I have this urge within me to do more for people. And that's why I'm doing it.
It's a huge chance to take.
Massive.
Yeah.
I'm giving up a career.
You are. You're giving up a career. And for the next 7 weeks, you're trying to invest and become part of your next career. But there's no guarantee that's going to happen.
No.
Does that keep you awake at night?
Yeah, of course it does. And this is even, you know, when I was driving in today, tonight, you know, myself and Karen were talking in the car. Karen was very emotional because, of course, she's only known me since I've been on the radio since I've known her. And it's not like she knows me since I'm five. So, you know, this is all we've known together as being husband and wife, me being the guy on the radio as well.
Am I right in thinking it's tonight? How many years that the first
7 years?
See, tonight, 7 years.
We met seven years ago.
You spoke.
Yeah.
Wow.
The first time we ever met was 7 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
And Alex, this is our little mini anniversary as well.
Did she have an inkling that she was falling in love with a future politician at any stage?
No, she had an inkling that I was falling in love with her. But yeah, I mean, I mean, Karen is probably the most supportive person you could ever meet. She would do anything to support me, and I can't count the number of times in a day, particularly over the last 2 weeks, because we've been working very hard to get to this point, that she has told me that she's very proud of me. And she tells me this constantly all the time. And it's really nice.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful feeling. She's just such a supportive wife.
Can I ask you about that background preparation without obviously going into the political side of it? You're reshaping, you're regenerating your whole life. You're recrafting your outlook on life. You're becoming something that I suppose from the outside, nobody really knows what it's like to become that individual who's now about to invest their entire life and whatever is in your bank account in a career that you've no guarantee that you're going to be a part of in 7 weeks' time.
No. And that is a risk, you know. I mean, we thought about this long and hard. It could fail, but I'm very confident it won't, because I'm confident that the people of Dublin and Ireland, you know, they want something. So I'm confident of that. But in saying that, it could fail. It could. I might not be successful. And then what do? Start sending out CVs. That's really what I'm going to have to do at that point.
Well, I'll give you a good job reference.
Well, thanks very much, Gareth. I really appreciate it. I mean, look, I love radio. I remember people often say to me, why did you want to go into talk radio? I was driving around Florida 30 years ago and I heard Howard Stern. And I went, I want to be like him someday, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as I got back, I got onto this guy. People will know Chris Barry, of course. He used to work at FM 104.
Yeah.
I started off as his roving reporter. And that's how I started off doing talk radio. And then I ended up filling in for Chris. And then Chris went and I took over from him. And, you know, I've worked in numerous talk jobs since. This is the longest one, 14 years. And I would have happily stayed here for another 14 years. And I'm sure they would have kept me for another 14 years if I hadn't made this decision. But it's just something I love talking. People can't shut me up.
No, that's very true.
Yeah, you're saying that in a very negative way, or a very positive way.
Very positive. You've been here all those years.
And I know I'm opinionated. Worked.
Yeah.
But people think, if I go to a pub, which I don't, but if I went out to an event or a pub or something like that, and people are talking to me, I don't start giving my opinion at the table or at the dinner table. I'm not like that at all.
Yeah. But see, you've outlived all of the other talk show hosts.
Every single one of them.
I was only talking to one of them in Burger King today, and he was just wishing you the best.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean they've all come and gone, and I'm still here, and I think I've got away with it, if that's the word you want to use, because the audience have an expectation of me. You know, so I've survived all of the cancel culture. I've survived all of that, even though I'm not politically correct, because there's an audience expectation, and that audience expects me just to say how I feel. They might not like always how I feel, you know, but sometimes they do.
Can I ask how old you are? Because it's going to be in all the papers tomorrow anyway.
42. No, I'm 60.
42.
I'm 60. What are they all laughing at?
That's circumference of your head.
Look at the Dublin Live audience. They all know that I'm 40.
The studio's full here, by the way.
No, I'm 60 years of age. You know.
The Taoiseach said he couldn't be here tonight because he's on TikTok.
Yeah, he probably is.
So, how old are you again?
60.
You couldn't have done this job if you were a 30-year-old, though.
No, not at all, because you wouldn't have the life experience. I mean, look, I've said this, that I'm not a politician. And I want to reiterate that. I am not a politician. Now, if I do get elected, I will become a politician by definition, right? But I'm not a politician. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a radio star, whatever word you want to use for that. I'm a listener.
Hmm.
But that's I'm better positioned, probably, than most politicians to listen to people.
But politics moves at a very slow pace.
I don't.
No, you don't. But perhaps you're going to have to get used to that. Or do you think you can? You can't really. I mean, you're going to have to blend in with the style, isn't that?
Do you think
case?
I'm going to blend in?
No.
No, no, I'm not a blender.
Can we edit that? Actually, this is live, by the way. It's live, just in case you think it's recorded.
I'm not a blender, Gareth.
By the way, 087-188-0008. Lots of questions for you, which I can't ask you. Lots of questions that I'd love to ask you, but I can't. As I said, a lot of people said it's going to be very strange not listening to him at night. Lots of people saying absolutely gutted here. A couple of people bawling. I hope you're not driving. But please just keep the messages coming and we'll read out those that we can. But obviously, as I say, we have to steer clear of a lot of the
political issues.
The political issues
of course.
And that kind of thing. Can I take you back to when you got your first gig in radio? Where was that?
Well, my very first gig in radio, if you want to call it a gig, it was in the original Sunshine Radio.
Ah, right. Portmarnock.
Yeah, in Portmarnock, in a porta cabin at the back of the Sands Hotel. And it was an overnight. And basically, all I had to do was just change the record. I wasn't allowed to talk, sadly. So all I had to do was keep changing the record. I was a spinner, as they used to call it in those days. They don't have spinners really anymore, I don't think, in radio nowadays because of the automation and everything else. But that's what I did. And then I remember one night, something went wrong with the desk. And I kind of said 10 words. And I was thrilled with myself. I thought, this is the greatest thing ever. 1986, I thought this was the great. Wow. I think it was 86, in and around that time. Maybe it was before, actually. It could have been before that. But I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, you know? And then I was working in Tamango Nightclub, and we used to do the Midnight Mega Mix, which Jim Kenny originally did, who started off in this radio station as well, by the way.
Yeah.
And I filled in for Jim for the whole summer there, and it was great that you were actually able to talk, because you could talk in between the songs every now and again, which was great, you know? It was the weirdest setup. Anyway, and from there then... at the time, what happened was radio changed. As you know, the licensing authority came in and all that kind of thing. So the amount of jobs in radio disappeared very quickly. And we were down to just kind of one or two radio stations. So I kind of went back to do the DJing in the nightclubs, which I made a very good living out of for many, many years. And in the middle of all that, I did an Irish show on Dublin's Country Radio. And then I did a property show on Dublin's Country Radio. The funniest thing about the Irish show was I was dragged into the program director's office on numerous occasions and told, do you mind just playing a few songs? Could you just not talk for so long?
What were you talking about? It was an Irish music show.
I didn't think really they came to mind once it was loosely related to the song in question. And then I was contacted. I had my own business then, and I was doing nightclub DJing, and I had an agency, so I was very busy. And I was contacted to come back and work here at Ireland's Classic Hits Radio back in 2010. So I couldn't refuse it. At that particular time, the country was going through a recession. It was a very tough time in Ireland, and I wanted to be part of that, of, you know, helping people get through that. people will remember that tough time we had between, particularly between 2010 and 2014 or 15, and around that time when Enda Kenny, of course, was the leader of the country. So it was a difficult time for Ireland.
Well, that was when the bubble burst, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And when you realised that you had a bit of talent behind you, was that when the bug bit? For a start, a couple of people actually saying, is that your real voice?
Well, I don't have another one. I don't, that's the only one. I've often said this to people who are looking for advice going into radio. Don't change your voice.
Yeah.
Because you'll be found out. You know, you will be found out because the real voice will slip out at some time. This is my real voice. And probably because I smoke too much. It's probably a lot to do with that. But I should have to give them up again. I did give them up over Christmas and then unfortunately slip back onto them again. So I do have to give them up again. But yeah, that is my real voice. I always say to people, don't try and change your voice. You'll be found out. Don't be a fraud on radio. You'll be found out very quickly because people see through all of that. So I was always just me, you know.
And do people recognise you when they hear your voice?
All the time.
Right.
It's a bit embarrassing sometimes. When you're ringing up, you know, giving out about your car insurance, you can't be mean to people.
Or if you're in a car at the station.
But I was only ringing up with my car insurance there recently or whatever. I think it was car insurance. And they were a bit annoying me a little bit because they'd put the price up. I was going, do you realise? And she went, are you Niall Boylan? I went, oh, the guy off the radio. And I went, oh. Yeah, and now you have to be really nice because they now know who you are. So you can't give out to them anymore. So that happens regularly, yeah. And because I've done a lot of television appearances over the years too, between RTE and The Cutting Edge. I was actually on GMB quite a lot at one stage there before COVID with Piers Morgan. So I've done a lot of that as well. And so people kind of recognise your face then as well.
Will you miss the radio?
I couldn't express to you how much I will miss radio. Absolutely. Of course I'll miss it. It's part of me. It's part of my life. What am I going to do? Embroidery? I mean, there's nothing else I can do. That's what I do. I just talk.
Gardening.
For a living. This is probably the closest thing I'm going to get to doing radio because I'll be talking. Yeah. But the difference is I'll be talking for other people now.
Right. Okay. We're going to take a break. Is that what you say?
Yeah. Back in a second. Yeah.
Stay with us. He's got a lot more to say. WhatsApp us on 087-188-0008. Just so that you know, it's not April Fool's Day. We haven't delayed the gag. It's true, actually. As you know, you may have read it yesterday, but you're hearing it for real here on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio tonight. Niall Boylan is to run for the forthcoming European elections as a candidate on June 7th. And he's my guest tonight on Nighttime Talk. If you want to give us a shout, please let us know who you are, where you are, and what you'd like to say.
Nighttime Talk. Call us now on 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
The home of the Kim Wilde 80s Show. Weeknights from 6.
This is Kim Wilde, and if you love the 80s, you're going to love these next couple of songs I've lined up to play for you. From Paula Abdul. And the Human League are coming soon.
Monday to Thursday from 6 p.m.
on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, the home of the 80s and 90s.
Electric Ireland Superhomes can help you achieve a cosier, healthier and more energy efficient home and one with less carbon emissions. They look after your home's retrofit from start to finish, including management of SEAI grants. Visit electricirelandsuperhomes.ie and start your journey to a superhome today. Grants offered are provided by the Government of Ireland through the SEAI.
Noyex Newman's Kitchens, Floors, Decks and Doors. Visit one of our showrooms and talk to our kitchen and wardrobe design experts who've been creating amazing affordable dream kitchens and bedrooms for decades. We have an unbelievable range of door styles, colours and designs. Something to suit all tastes for your home, apartment fit out or commercial project. Noyex Finglas M50 Exit 5 and Ballymount M50 Exit 10. Noyex.ie. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter for great design ideas.
It's Noyex Newman's Kitchens, Floors, Decks and Doors.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk.
With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, it's just coming up to 9:30 on a Tuesday night. It'll be a Tuesday night, 23rd of April, I'm sure. I certainly won't forget it. And I'm delighted to be part of this. I'm devastated that you're leaving our business, because we've been great friends for many, many, many years. And, you know, long periods can go by when we don't see each other, we don't talk to each other, but then we just pick up the phone and we take up where we left off. Going back to when you made the decision to go for it, and Karen is here as well with you this evening, just
for moral support
for the two of us.
Yeah.
What was the point at which you said to her, "I'm going for this"?
You know what? It was a kind of long decision in a sense that, now, not that I had any idea I was actually going to make the plunge, but I've noticed, particularly over the last 5 or 6 years, that there was a change. Because people got angry about certain things or certain issues, and then they would be resolved. You know, that was the way Ireland was. They would be resolved, and we'd get through it. You know, if it was about their money or their wages or whatever, taxes would be reduced or whatever, or there would be a protest or whatever, and it would be sorted. I remember the big ones, of course, was the water charges, which were huge at the time, back about 7 years ago. But it was resolved, bit of people power. It was resolved. But over the last 5 years, I noticed there's a reluctance to resolve anything. And it's almost like we must just accept everything that's thrown at us. And that's the sense I'm getting from people. And I can't go into it in too much detail, obviously, about the individual situations that I'm referring to. But people are just told to accept it and that there's no alternative to that. And I just wanted to be that alternative for people. I just wanted to be that voice, because I think what happens is people start to feel a bit voiceless after a while. You know, they feel like they're shouting from the bottom of a well somewhere and nobody's actually listening to them anymore. So I just wanted to be that voice for them. And that was what maybe made the decision, because I said they need somebody. I'm not saying these people are not educated. Of course, they're extremely educated. Most of my audience, all of my audience, are extremely educated, but sometimes don't have the confidence to say how they feel to the right people. And maybe on their behalf, I can do that because I'm used to talking.
I get the feeling, having looked at the candidates, particularly today, that are registering their candidacies, there seems to be a greater propensity and desire to get into politics, more so than there ever has been, by so many different people from different backgrounds, from right across all of the socioeconomic divides, from all sorts of backgrounds. Everybody, it's almost as if people are saying, I want my voice to be heard on behalf of the people who want their voices to be heard.
I think it's really important in politics, not just in Europe, but in Ireland, that we have diverse opinions. And, you know, people go on about the kind of the right wing or the left wing or the centre. There should be a little bit of everything, because that's the way Ireland used to be. If we go back a long, long time ago, you know, each party would represent. If you look at American politics, for example, you have the Democrats and Republicans, and people can pick a side. You know what I mean? No, it's not. The American politics system is not perfect. I'm not suggesting it is, but you can pick a side.
Yeah.
And the two sides are there. But what happens is, when you have good diversity in politics, you know, one will hold the other back from making bad decisions. So they hold each other back from making bad decisions, and we progress slowly. We don't progress too quickly. We don't make bad decisions, generally speaking, when you've got two sides, because one will oppose the other constantly all the time. It's like having two magnets. But we're missing that. I believe we're missing that in Irish politics at the moment.
Okay. Dave, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Dave. You're too denial there.
What's the crack?
What's the crack, Dave? How are you?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to hear this a lot tonight.
Well, I don't think anybody was expecting to hear it.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, we won't have you under ear holes every night, so.
No, unfortunately not, Dave. But I have to say, Dave, you know, I was asked earlier on to talk about the moments over the last 14 years. And, you know, I'm going to go through some of them in a few minutes, some of the kind of brighter moments, the happier moments, the sadder moments, the angrier moments. But there was one moment in radio that you took part in that I will never forget as long as I live. And you know what that is.
Is it the one where I debased myself for all of your amusement, or...
Sorry?
Was it the one where I debased myself for all of your amusement, or was it the one where I got the bad news by you out of nowhere?
Yes, so just to tell people, Dave's wife passed away a little over a year ago. She had cancer. And Dave and I used to have this ongoing thing before she passed away that I kept saying to him, when are you going to marry that woman? Make a decent woman out of her. And he used to give out to me on the air for saying, he said, she's going to hear you stop. So one day on the daytime show, I said to him, right, look, let's just do this. Go into the, where is she now? He said, she's in the kitchen. I said, right, come on into the kitchen. I said, ask her to marry you. And he did. He got down on his knee and he asked her to marry him. And she said yes. Oh. Thankfully, she said yes, Dave. Yeah. That could have been very embarrassing. Could have been very wrong.
No, well, no, we were already engaged, but you maybe did it for everybody else's entertainment. And then she finished off by saying, no, hurry up and do it.
Yeah. And then what happened was I hadn't heard from Dave in a couple of months. And somebody had sent me a photograph of the two of them walking down the aisle. And then he came on the air and I congratulated him. I said, well done. You've made a decent woman of her. And he said, Niall, she passed away 2 weeks ago. At that moment for me, I have never experienced in radio where I suddenly realised, you know, the sadness of Dave losing his wife. And Dave, again, I am so sorry.
And no, Jesus, thanks so much.
I think I was speechless, Dave, for the first time in 30 years. I didn't know what to say.
I actually managed to shut you up for once. Huh?
Yeah. you're probably the only one who shut me up.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
No worries.
Take care. Thanks a lot. Alva.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, Alva. Thank you very much indeed for calling in.
Hi, I know I haven't spoken to you much, but it feels like I've had you in my house every single day since about 2013, and in my car. I knew this is something you were going to do because I knew this country needs it. But it's so funny because over the years, like, I'd wait here in the evening for my husband to come home from work, and I'd always say, oh, did you hear what Niall Boylan was talking about today? And we'd always have these discussions. And whenever we talk about life in general, I'd say, oh, well, Niall Boylan said this and Niall Boylan said this and
sure
everything
that we talk about.
But then he drives home at nighttime and he'll say, oh, Alva, I was just listening to Niall there on the radio and he was saying this. And then we'd have a whole discussion about it. And it's just like, it's just such a, you're like another person in our household.
Oh, I'm so and happy to hear just, that.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, because to you, like, we're nobodies, you know, but we're just, we live in the west of Ireland, in a very small town, and it's just like, you're just one man in Dublin on the radio who, our whole life, our conversations genuinely every day, every second day, we're talking about something that you've spoken about, and my day, every day, I'm in the house, and I'm doing my jobs, I'm doing my chores, and I have you in my ears. And some nights, if I can't sleep, I'll have you in my ears again. Like, it's the only way I can fall asleep sometimes. And it's just, you make so much sense. Like, it's common sense.
But I like to think it's common sense. And you know what? Don't say that, you know, that you're nobodies to me. You're not, because you and all of the listeners who I described earlier on, as I feel like you're part of the family. You know, you're so important. Yeah. Because I said to people all the time, I don't have a show without the listeners, because this is not like, you know, we don't have loads of guests planned and all that kind of thing. So without the callers on the air, people like you who listen, people who call in, people who text in, we actually don't have a show.
Well, it's true. I mean, you were just talking to Dave there. I remember I remember those episodes where you spoke to him about proposing. And I remember hearing
Michelle,
that. And then the conversation where he said that she had passed away, and I just died. Like, I couldn't, and I said to my husband, you have to listen to this. Can you believe this? And I just thought, and it actually feels like Dave is my brother because I'm listening to him so often. And then there's Scumbag Steve and all these there's characters. And then there's Bernie and, like, there's characters and everyone. And I know what they're going to say. Like, when you have Saoirse or the Saoirse, I think.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh, dear.
Let me just say, like, I miss everybody apart from Saoirse, right?
Sometimes I'm just like, I feel like throwing something at the wall when she comes on. But I'm like, you know what? This is what makes it, because it's everyone's opinions. And you're listening. And, like, sometimes I kind of know when you just want them to just shut up. But it's like, it's just, it's real life, you know, but it's everyone's lives. And I feel like you really are listening to what's going on. So I definitely think you have a clear understanding of life in Ireland right now.
Okay.
You know, and I know a couple of years ago, I said this in my text, but a couple of years ago, we were going through a hard time. And I remember putting on the radio, it was midday, and you weren't there. And I thought, where the fuck is he today? And then the next day came and you weren't there again. And I was like, there's something up. And I just knew something was up. And then finally you came back. And I thought, and then, you know, you had explained. And I thought, I knew it. I just knew that something was wrong. But then I found out about Karen and I thought, oh my God, he's in love and he's talking about Karen all the time. And then I found out you had just been married, but you were like newlywed around then. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, this is just amazing.
And he took a day off.
He took a day off for the wedding. You know, it's been absolutely lovely talking to you because you've probably brought more memories to me than anybody else here tonight. And it's been really nice. And I'm really happy that I was part of your family. I hope your husband wasn't too jealous of me. But I'm really happy that I was part of
your family. I'll be telling him that when he comes home.
Thanks a lot, Alan.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
We've got one more call, and that's Carol. Are you there, Carol?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Mm. Hi, Carol.
I'm actually in shock. Hello, Niall. How are you? I've spoken to you a couple of times before. I'm from Galway. I'm absolutely in shock when my partner came in tonight at 9 and said to me, hey, Boylan's going on to do European elections. I just looked at him and laughed and pulled the other one. I said, no way, should have listened to him last night and didn't. Not at all, no way. And then he goes, I'm telling you. So then I go, Dr. Google, we did. I said, oh my God, it's true. Where's the radio? Quick, it's 9 o'clock, quick. And I put it on the radio. I just can't believe it. Absolutely can't believe it. What are we going to do without you and all the characters? I was laughing.
Well, the characters will all still be here. Obviously, I will have to be replaced because, unfortunately, I won't be here anymore. Last night was technically my last night. I'm a guest of Gareth tonight. Gareth will be here manning the desk.
Oh, I love Gareth too.
Yeah, well, there you
go. Don't get jealous, but I love Gareth.
Yeah, you can bring Gareth to bed with you now at night.
Oh, I'm laughing though. My phone is beeping in the last 20 minutes. And I know when it's my grown-up daughter slagging me. Because they go, how are you going to cope without Niall Boylan? No, yeah. But it's like Albert said.
Your midnight
like
boyfriend.
You were so happy when you met Karen. And you know, all the things that we followed. I mean, it's years that we're actually listening to you. I remember the first time I was talking to the radio, must be back 4 or 5 years ago. So it's just like, it's like change now that I have to get used again. But if it's Gareth, at least it's...
Yeah, you'll fall in love with Gareth. You can just fall in love with Gareth. Bring him to bed at night in your headphones with you as well. He'll be grand. And Carol, it's been lovely talking to you, Carol. And thank you very much indeed. It means so much to listen to people say such nice things.
I wish you the best anyway.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, wish you the best. No problem at all. No problem.
I'm afraid I have to let you go.
Isn't this the saddest thing? This is the last time I hear somebody say that to me.
I didn't want to say that because, but I'm getting the voice in my ear, yeah, but it's distinct from my head.
Well, listen, I'll just say thank you very much to everybody who has listened to me over the last 30 years and particularly over the last 14 years in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. You are my family. I do care about you. I'm not abandoning you. I just want to be a different Niall. I just want to be a different voice for you. And thank you to everybody who sent in all their beautiful messages there tonight because I really, really, really appreciate it.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.